It's good to be here. I'm originally from Georgia. I don't know if you notice an accent. My parents say I don't have an accent anymore. They say that I sound like a northerner. And so Pastor Mike says I still have it. So 2 weeks ago, I was back home, and it was 91 degrees. It's not 91 degrees up here anymore. But this is nice, warm weather for up here, right? It's almost December. No snow on the ground. What is going on? But no, it's good to be here this morning. In your Bibles today, I'm going to be in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13. And so, if you've ever been to India, I don't know if any of you've ever been to India. I know one person has been to India. And so, you've been to India, there we go. India services can last 5 hours long, but I know. Packers are playing tonight, so it's okay. We can have a long service, right? You're not missing the Packers game. It's okay. No, I got three verses for you this morning, starting in verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there anybody thankful for that this morning? That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember growing up in Georgia, and it was in the depth of my addiction and the depth of my lostness and my darkness that Jesus came down when I was asking questions and I was like, God, is there anything more to life than this? It was that moment that God reached down his hand and he said, hey, guess what? I love you. Hey, guess what? I care about you. Hey, guess what? I want to give you some hope. I want to give you a plan and a purpose. I want to give you a future. And can I tell you this morning that if he did it for me, he can do it for them. Can I speak over your families this morning? That if he did it for me, he can do it for them. I don't care how lost they may be. I don't care how far they've ran. That if he did it for me, he can do it for them. Can I speak over Marinette today? That if he did it for me, he can do it for them. That if God can raise up Paul, who was killing Christians, and he can bring him out of the depth of his darkness to the light, that if he did it for me, he can do it for them. Can I speak over Wisconsin today? That if he did it for me, he can do it for them. Can I tell you that God's still working? God is still moving. We might not see it, we might not feel it, but he's still working. He's still moving. 2 months ago, I was at a Chi Alpha speaking at a university. And as I'm at this university and all the different restrictions that were happening at this campus, can I tell you that 40 students still came up and gave them their lives to Jesus? That God is still moving. God is still working. Can I tell you in India today, that we're reaching more people during COVID than pre-COVID. We're having Hindus message us on Facebook. We're having Buddhists. We're having Muslims message us on email to say, my God's not working. I want your Jesus. Can I tell you, God is still working. God's still moving. And if he did it for me, he can do it for them. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's good news this morning. Sometimes we get focused on the other news instead of the good news. But God's still working. He's still moving. But there's a problem. Verse 14, Paul says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? See, Paul raises some very interesting logical questions. I'm a logical kind of guy. So I like these questions. He's got a point, right? We understand the free gift of salvation. We understand that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We get that concept. We get the concept that Jesus came, he died, he rose again. So he paid it all. All we got to do is accept him. We get that. But what actually goes into somebody calling on the name of the Lord? Here, Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus tells us multiple times that we have to go tell somebody about him. How many people can quote Matthew 28? How many people have heard that a few times? Go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, in Mark, Jesus says in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Luke 24, this message and the authority of his name will be proclaimed to all the nations. John chapter 20, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Acts chapter 1:8, You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Notice he says, and the ends of the earth. Sometimes I think we get caught up into this either or. We either reach our community or we reach the ends of the earth. We either reach Marinette and we take care of our community and we reach the ones around us, or we take care of India, or we take care of China, or we take care of Syria. Can I tell you, Jesus said it's not an either or, it's a both and. That yes, we take care of our community. Yes, we reach out to those who are hurting, who are broken. We reach out to our family, our friends, our coworkers, and those living among us. But we also reach out to India. We also have the responsibility of China and Syria and Africa and South America. We have to take care of everybody. It's our responsibility to reach those around the world. And so I have a question that I often think about. As I said, I'm a logical person. So Jesus is telling us, he's telling us it's our responsibility over 2,000 years ago. And Paul writing this over 2,000 years ago, he's talking about people who have never heard the name of Jesus. So where are we at today? It's a logical question, right? There's a website called Joshua Project. Joshua Project, if you've never heard of it, is a site that actually keeps track of the Great Commission. It keeps track of who's heard the gospel, where the gospel has been. They keep track of how many people, the percentages of people saved and not saved, and all these different things from different mission organizations, so they can keep tabs on where the gospel's been. So it's an amazing site. But as I'm sitting over there and I was just going through different things, I look at Joshua Project every morning. And I was doing it again right over there. Can I tell you, over 40% of the world today has never heard the name of Jesus. Over 3 billion people in the world today have never heard the name of Jesus. Man, how is that possible? That Jesus told us, we can quote it, right? Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. But how is it possible that over 40% have never heard the name of Jesus? How can it be? My wife and I were in Cairo, Egypt. If you want to go to the next slide. In Cairo, Egypt, we lived there for a year. And I met this guy there on the left. And as we were in Cairo, Egypt, Cairo has 25 million people. My neighborhood alone had 5 million people. To put that in terms, that's double the size of Chicago was my neighborhood. That was just the people around me, all in the different apartments. And so as we're sitting in my neighborhood and this question comes to my mind, how am I going to reach all these people? You see, that was a problem. I couldn't speak the language. I didn't know how to communicate with these people, but people have given of their money. People are praying for me that I've been sent out to reach these people. So how can I do it if I don't know the language? And so I started studying Arabic in the morning. But we also started doing something called Conversation Club. Conversation Club was something we did at night when people were off of out of work. And so people would come to Conversation Club to learn about English. You see, English gives them better jobs, it gives them better pay, it gives them better opportunities. So Egyptians would love to come to our Conversation Club. They would love to get to know foreigners and Americans and Europeans and all these different people we had. They would love it. And so one day, it was my very first day of Conversation Club. Have you ever been somewhere and you just kind of, you know, it's your first time being somewhere, so you just kind of hang in the back and you just, I want to observe today, right? I just want to look around to see how this thing works out. Anybody ever been there before? My wife's an introvert. She says, I do that every day. I said, I just want to observe. Don't talk to me. And so I'm sitting against a wall, just looking around. How does this Conversation Club work? How does the flow work? What happens here? And so all of a sudden, my friend here, he comes through the door. You see, first thing you should notice is he's a tall Egyptian. You don't see very many tall Egyptians out there. And so as he walks through the door, he comes through and he sees me posted up against the wall. And he says, you, I want your number. And I'm just sitting against the wall, and I'm just looking around like, me? You want my number? I told him, first off, you don't know this, I'm from a town in South Georgia. South Georgia, we don't speak English ourselves. I mean, you don't want to learn English from me, you see? I could teach you, hey, y'all come back, you here, the grocery store's down yonder. I mean, you probably don't want to know English from me, so you might want to go to somebody else. He said, no, I want your number. And so I gave him my number, and we started going to hang out together. We started to go to the coffee shop together, and we would drink tea together. And then I would invite him to my house, and we'd eat supper at my house. And I went to his house, and I would eat supper at his house. And we would go, and just like the picture shows, we'd play soccer together. You see, all his friends would come together, and they'd play soccer, and they'd love to invite me because they could always beat me in soccer. You know, they're like, oh, bring that American guy with you. Well, we like to beat him at soccer. Just sharing life, living life together. And through this year that we were together, I was able to share the name of Jesus. And I'll never forget, two nights before I left Cairo, it was my last time seeing my friend. And so as we're sitting at this coffee shop, we're just reminiscing over the year and what's been going on and everything that we've done. And towards the end of the conversation, I look at my friend, I was like, you know, we've talked about a lot of things this year. Oh, we've done a lot of things together this year. But I've also told you about this Jesus. And I was like, what do you think? I mean, I went through everything with him. I went Genesis to Revelation. I went miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. What do you think about following Jesus? I'll never forget, he sits there in his chair. He leans back and he starts to think. He goes, I got one more question for you. I said, sure, what's that? I mean, I've answered a lot of questions at this point. He said, my grandmother. He said, I love my grandmother. You see, my grandmother, I remember when I was a kid and I would go to my grandmother's house and she would bake desserts for me and she would cook for me and I would sit on the floor and I would play with my grandfather and we would just play games and soccer and all these different things together. I just loved going to my grandmother's house. I love my grandmother. He said, but she died 2 years ago. And he said, she never got to hear these stories like you've told me. She never heard about this Jesus like you've told me. She never heard these miracles like you've told me. She never heard about this Savior, this God who's a personable God, a God who loves her, a God who cares for her. She never heard these things before. So what about my grandmother? See, the stumbling block for my friend that day was that nobody thought necessary to take the gospel to his grandmother. Wow. In India today, we're going to India. India today has over 1 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus. To put that in comparison, that's more than the entire continent of Africa and the Middle East combined. Never heard the name of Jesus in one country. Over 500,000 villages Jesus hasn't been to yet in India. So how are we going to reach them? How is it possible to reach all these different people? Can it be done? I think the answer is found in verse 15. Paul says, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So we started doing a CrossFit gym in India. And in this CrossFit gym, we are able to make relationships with people. People come and work out. Matter of fact, in the middle right there, that picture is our CrossFit gym. And that's people there at our gym. So they come in and they work out and we lift weights. You know, we found something interesting. I don't know if any of you have ever played sports before or ever been into a locker room before, but a locker room is the nastiest, smelliest, sweatiest place on earth. But there's something about a locker room that bonds people together. You just get bonded together. And we're finding the same is true for a CrossFit gym, that as we get nasty, as we get smelly, as we work out together and get sweaty, it bonds people together and we can make a relationship. And what we do with this relationship is we can then bring a relationship with Jesus with it. You see, our gym has been open for 2 years now. We have over 75 members in our gym. We see about 100 people a day, and over 25 of those members are actively engaged in the Bible, and they're actively coming to know who Jesus is. All through a gym, all through relationship, all through sharing life together. They're Muslims, they're Buddhists, they're Hindus, they're Sikhs, they're atheists, all coming to know who Jesus is and have a relationship with Jesus, all because of a relationship from a CrossFit gym. It's pretty incredible. It's pretty awesome that God can use all these different ways to reach people for the gospel. The other side of CrossFit is it keeps you in shape. As my dad says, round is a shape. So, you know. But as we're in shape, we can go off and do different things as well. As I said, there's over 500,000 villages that Jesus hasn't been to. And so we go off into these remote villages in the Himalayan mountains. And I remember not too long ago, I was in India and I was going to one of these villages. It took us 10 days, 8 hours a day to get to this village. And as we're walking up, we're 18,000 feet in the air. I don't know if you've ever been that high, but it's kind of hard to breathe after 15,000 feet. Your lungs start to go, your oxygen levels get low, but we're going up to this village. I'll never forget, we're walking up to this village, and the first house I see, there's a little old lady that in that picture, and she's sitting there in her kitchen. And she sees us coming up from the mountain, and so she's sitting in her kitchen. She has one of those old wooden windows that split through the middle. And so as we're going up this mountain, she sees us coming. She pops her head out the window, and she goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I came to tell you about a man named Jesus." She said, "I don't know who that is, but would you like a cup of chai?" And at that moment, chai was the best sounding thing to me. It was warm. I could get this bag off my back. I just wanted just a cup of chai. So I said, "Sure, yeah, I'd love to have chai." So we go into her living room. She doesn't have these nice, comfortable, padded chairs like we have. She has rugs. And so we're sitting there, and we're talking about just life and sharing life together, sitting in her living room. I mean, the life change of was so crazy. I mean, she has oxen plowing the fields. There's no electricity in her village. And then I'm like, "How do you live up here? How does it work? Because I don't know this life. I don't know how to live in this life." About an hour and a half into the conversation, something catches my eye on the wall. See, this is an object, and it's kind of on a pedestal, and you can see it's very well taken care of. And I'm like, "What is this thing on the wall?" So she gets up and she goes and grabs this object. See, it's got a handle with a little ball that spins on top. And she begins to spin this object. And as she's spinning this object, she describes it's a prayer wheel. And as you spin this prayer wheel, you can pray to the gods. And as she's spinning this prayer wheel, I see her mind spinning as well. And in a moment of vulnerability, she goes, "You know, it's just so hard. It's just so hard." She says, "We serve so many gods. I mean, Hinduism alone has over 33 million gods. Serve so many gods." She said, "We got this God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of the rain, the God of the animals, the God of the family, the God of the house, my personal God. We have all these different gods we have to serve. It's just so hard." So I said, "Hey, remember that Jesus that I was talking about when I was coming up? Let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about the one living God, the one true God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that came down from heaven to earth. He walked among us. He lived among us. He did many miracles among us. He died and he rose again. And he doesn't just live outside in the world. He lives inside of me. And he says he loves me. He cares for me. He gives me hope, a plan, a future, a purpose. I know when I die, I get to go see my God. Let me tell you about my God." She starts crying, and it's just this awesome, beautiful moment. And as we're going through this moment, this verse comes to my head. "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Can I tell you that day my feet wasn't beautiful? My feet, we've been traveling 10 days, 8 hours a day, going up mountains, down mountains. We went through a dry riverbed. My feet were nasty. They were smelly. They were bloody. They were blistered. There was nothing beautiful about my feet. Can I tell you this morning, my feet ain't beautiful. I got socks on my shoes just in case my shoe falls off. You don't have to see it. You will not see my feet on a magazine. I promise you. You won't do it. So what are you talking about, Paul? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? So I started thinking about it. And here's what I came up with. That God used a kid from South Georgia who he spoke life into, who he raised up to get on an airplane to go all the way to India to hike 10 days, 8 hours a day, just to tell this lady about Jesus. Man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Just so this lady can know the good news of Jesus. Can I tell you, it doesn't stop there. Can I tell you that I'm a young guy, if you didn't know this. And as a young guy, I don't have much money. My bank account today doesn't have numbers. It has letters. It says broke. Don't swipe. Don't even think about it. But God raised up so many churches, people in churches who would faithfully and sacrificially give to this young kid so he could buy a plane ticket, so he could go all the way to India, buy a ticket to get on a bus, so he could hike 10 days, 8 hours a day just to tell this lady about Jesus. Man, that's beautiful. Can I tell you, it doesn't just stop there. That some people couldn't go like I did. Some people couldn't give like they did. But then I can't tell you that I had some prayer warriors who, since the day they met me, they were on their knees every single day praying over me, praying, God, would you pour your spirit out on India? God, would you pour your spirit out as this man goes? God, would you reveal yourselves? That as the moment I stepped on the flight, they're praying every single day on their knees, praying for God to show up in India. As I'm walking 10 days, 8 hours a day, they're on their knees praying, God, would you pour out your spirit? Man, that's beautiful. You see, the beautiful thing about this is the whole church as one body working together to fulfill the Great Commission, to commit themselves to furthering the name of Jesus. That's beautiful. And that's awesome. That God could raise up each and every one of us. You see, it's about unity. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he says, the human body has many parts, but their many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. In verse 27, he says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. There's power in unity. We see it at the Tower of Babel, right? Granted, it's not used for godly things, but we see the power of unity at the Tower of Babel. I think about also Jesus. Right before he goes to the cross, what does he do? In John chapter 17, we see Jesus praying to the Father right before he's betrayed. Verse 21 through 23, he says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. During Jesus' most stressful moments, he knows the cross is before him. He's crying out, God, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. He prays for unity. For us to be unified. Why? Because there's power in unity. It's also about commitment. It comes down to commitment. If we're going to reach the unreached, if we're going to reach the people who have never heard about Jesus, if we're going to reach the 40%, if we're going to reach the 1 billion people in India today, we have to come to a commitment to it. Unity and commitment. When I think about commitment, I think about hymns. And I don't know about you, but I grew up on hymns. Growing up in South Georgia, can I tell you, there's just something about a hymn that really gets inside your soul that, man, on a bad day, when you're going through a storm and you sing, it is well with my soul, or 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, how great thou art. Man, there's something about a hymn that just gets inside of you. Growing up, my favorite hymn of all time is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Love that hymn. It's an amazing hymn. If you've never heard of it, please go listen to it. Did you know that I Have Decided to Follow Jesus is actually an Indian song? It's actually written in Hindi. Most people don't know that it actually comes from India. And the story is a little bit different than we sing it today. Today it's this great song Back then, it wasn't so great. You see, it starts out with a revival in Wales in the 1700s. This great revival happened in Wales, and there was one man, a missionary, who went all the way to northern India to tell people about Jesus. See, this man must not have been very smart because he chose the tribe of headhunters. It's like, man, of all the tribes to choose, why do you choose the headhunters? And so he goes to this village, and obviously he's not very well accepted in this village. And so as he's in this village, before they kick him out of the village, he saves one man. One man came to know who Jesus is because of this missionary. And this man, when he heard about Jesus and when Jesus came into his life, it radically changed him. He said, man, I got to save my family. I got to tell my family about this Jesus. I got to let them know. So he had a wife and two kids, and he's telling them about Jesus, and they come to know who Jesus is. He said, man, I can't just stop there. I got to let my dad and my mom and my uncle and my aunt and my grandparents, I got to tell all these people about Jesus. They got to know the power of Jesus. They got to know the love of Jesus. And so he brings his family to the Lord. He didn't just stop there. He said, man, I have these friends, and I think they should know about Jesus too. So he starts telling his friends about Jesus, and he's bringing them to the Lord. All of a sudden, he's bringing all these different people to the Lord, and the village chief, he gets a little angry. The village chief doesn't really like what's going on. You see, the village chief, he calls the whole village together to talk about this issue. So as the whole village gets together, he calls out, he says, who brought this Jesus to our village? And when he said that, the man and his family stood forth. He said, I did. I brought this Jesus to our village. He said, that man from Wales came over and he told me about this Jesus, and Jesus radically changed my life. Do you want to know Jesus too? Village chief didn't think that was funny. So the village chief says, you've done a wicked thing. You've done an evil thing that you've brought this Jesus, this Western God propped up by Western money and all these Western things and this culture. This is not who we are. We worship the spirits. We don't worship that Jesus. You've done an evil thing. You've made the spirits mad. He told the man, you need to denounce Jesus right now or some bad things are going to happen. It was at that moment that this man in this village in India looked up at the village chief. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. What I didn't tell you was that the village chief had warriors to his right. And when the man said this, the village chief just got angry. So he called out to his warriors. He had them draw their arrows back. And he shot his kids. Whoa. Got serious. Things are getting real. He said, you see, I'm not playing with you. Denounce this Jesus. Say it's all fake. Say it's all a hoax. Say you were just kidding the whole time, that it's not real. You need to denounce this Jesus or some bad things are going to happen. A man looked up at the village chief. Told him, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Made the village chief even angrier. The village chief calls out to the warriors, and they draw their arrows back and they shoot his wife. Village chief looks at this man, he says, why are you doing this? Just say it's all fake now. Say it's all hoax now. We can all go home. It can all be over. You can save your life. Just denounce Jesus now. With his final breath, his final words, the man looks up at the village chief. He said, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. Turning back. And it cost him his life. That's a sad story, right? It's hard to hear. But can I tell you, the story doesn't end there. Something happened in that village that day. Something changed in that village that day. And all these villagers saw this man lay down his life and his family's life right in front of him. They saw it all happen. The village chief, they looked at him. Why would this man do this? Why would this guy just lay down his life and his family's life for this Jesus? Can I tell you today, in northern India, the Garo tribe is 95% Christian because of the commitment of one man. Wow. Because of the commitment of one man to say, I won't deny Jesus. I won't back down. That I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back now. And he laid down his life and he changed the whole village. He changed the whole community. He changed generations. Wow, because of the commitment. See, if we're going to reach this world today, if we're going to reach our community today, it's going to require us to come together, to unify together, and to commit ourselves to furthering the name of Jesus. So what's this all mean for us today? Well, why do we talk about this today? See, I believe we all have a purpose and a part to play in this world. That if there's breath inside of your body, God has given you something to use. God's given you a plan. He's given you a purpose. There's something for you here. If you're older, can I speak as a younger person to say, I need mentors? That we need mentors in the world today to take young people by the arm to say, hey, you know what? I've been there before. I've done it. I've been through it. You can do it too. You're going to make it. Let me help you. So if you're older, we need you. Can I tell you, if you're younger, we need you. That we need people with energy, who have passion, who have boldness, who are just ready to go out and tell people about Jesus. We need you. I'm part of an organization called The Common Table. The Common Table believes that the gospel of Jesus can go forward in common, ordinary tasks, like sharing a meal together. We read many times in the gospels, if you read Jesus' ministry, he talks to, most of his ministry happens around a meal. It happens around a table. Hey, I'm going to come to your house tonight to eat. You have Mary weeping at the feet of Jesus. What is happening? It's happening around a table. They're about to eat a meal together. The Last Supper. What's happening? They're eating a meal together when Jesus is teaching his disciples. It's just all around a meal. In Acts, we read the disciples daily broke bread together. And the gospel went forward. The gospel went forward. And we still believe that today, right? We all love to eat. If you feed them, they will come, right? We all love a good potluck. Some of you checking your watches right now. Man, that 5 hours, he better not. Because I'm getting hungry now. He better wrap this thing up soon. Because we all love to eat. And can I tell you, the gospel can go forward even in the simplicity of a meal. That my friend who I was reaching out to in Cairo, that people who were reaching out to in India, is not these grand things. We're not passing out Bible tracts. We're sharing a meal together. We're getting to know each other. We're sharing life together. And the gospel's going forward. Because here's what the deal is. The kingdom expands at the speed of relationship. The kingdom expands at the speed of relationship. The gospel moves along the lines of trust. And if we're going to reach people, they got to trust us to hear our message. They got to have some kind of relationship to trust us. So at the speed of relationship, will the gospel go forward? Because it's in relationships that trust is built. Some random guy came up here talking about all these different things and what you should do. You probably wouldn't hear too much or listen to what he had to say. But if your mom or dad said something to you, if your best friend said something to you, you'd be like, oh, well, let me look it up at least. Let me look into this at least. So if the gospel goes forward, it has to be along relationships and trust. You see, I don't know what you're going through in life right now. And in a time of unknowns and unknowables, in a world where, you know, we're determined to bring division and separation, it's the time for the church to come together. As I said, the gospel's going forward. that God is working, God is moving, God is calling people to himself. He's calling people out of the darkness into the light, because it's this, in the difficulty of life that people ask questions. It's in life's most difficult moments that people ask questions. Can I tell you the two fastest growing churches in the world today? Iran and Afghanistan. Wow. Amazing, right? Two fastest growing churches in the world today, Iran and Afghanistan. God is working. God is moving. But it requires us to unite and commit ourselves to furthering the name of Jesus. We got to do our part. And you want to know the most beautiful thing of all is one day we're going to see the vision that John saw in Revelation 7:9, where John said, I see a great crowd, too many to count, a vast crowd from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, standing at the throne of Jesus, worshiping him. How beautiful will that be? How beautiful a moment will that be? Can I tell you, some of you will be shocked. Some of you will be surprised. Because for some of you, there's going to be a little Indian kid who comes up to you that day and says, hey, it's because of your giving, it's because of your prayers that I'm here today. For some of you, there's going to be people all over the world who come up to you you've never even met who are going to say, it's because of your giving, it's because of your prayers that I'm here today standing there worshiping Jesus. For some of you, people in your community are going to be standing there worshiping Jesus because of your telling, who your sharing of the message, because you're going and making relationships with them. How beautiful would that be? But we have to unite together. Commit ourselves to furthering the name of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to just know who you are, God, that you are a personable God. You're a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who came down. God, you've done it all just for us. And God, we know and we trust and we believe, God, that if you do it for us, you can do it for them, God. That the darkness that was inside of us, that you rescued us, that you brought the light to us, God. God, that if you did it for us, you can do it for them. Lord, I pray blessings over this church today. That you would bless this church. You would bless the people in this church, God, that may this church be the light that shines through the darkness, God, that drives out the darkness, God, that the darkness in Marinette cannot overcome your light, God, and I pray that this church will be that light that shines in the darkness. That this church will be the light that takes the gospel to all the way to India, to China, to Syria, to Africa, to South America, to all these different places, God. I pray that this church will be the church that commits to you. Out of all the distractions that can come against us, God, that we won't get distracted by all these other things, but we'll commit ourselves to you and to what you're doing, God. That 2020 won't be a year of just COVID and elections, that it'll be a year that people came to know who Jesus is in Marinette and all around the world. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.